1-800-784-9777 or go to TexasLASIK.com. Free thorough evaluations, all of it in-house at International Eye Care. 713-984-9777.
1560 The Game. We're higher,
higher
than the other sports stations.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
No, seriously. We broadcast at a higher frequency than the other sports stations.
Did you ever look at a dollar bill, man? There's some spooky stuff going on a dollar bill, man. I mean, and it's green, too.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
KGOW, 1560 AM, Bel Air, Texas.
No, the lower radiator hose is the bigger... Pardon me, I've got a call on the other line. I have to take it. This is Nigel.
Hey, man.
Oh, it's you, Thurston. How are you?
I ain't got no time for small talk, Nigel. I wanted to tell you that I figured out how that cell phone radio doohickey works.
If you're referring to listening to 1560 The Game on your cell phone, then bravo, old chap. How did you manage that?
Well, I went to 1560game.com, clicked on the listen on your cell phone button, followed the instructions. Now I can listen to 1560 The Game on my wireless pocket phone, too.
I told you it was simple.
Yeah, and I told you my phone was a piano. Baby, take
it. You, my dear friend, are like a moth, attracted to bright lights, circling mindlessly with no apparent compunction for direction at all.
Yeah, well, you're like a water tank, but don't know how to...
Right, there you go. You keep thinking of a clever retort, Thurston. I'm off to the lavatory for a hand washing.
You can hate him now, but he won't stop now. It's game time with David Nuno.
Yeah, that's a good combination, I think. That's what we thought when we brought in Cash and traded for Michael, that they would give us speed, they would be able to steal bases and kind of create situations at the top of the lineup. And, you know, we just got to get clicking as a unit, and we're not there yet.
The top of the lineup is nice. We've got some nice speed. But talking about the new additions to the top of the lineup, Kaz Matsui, him and Miguel Tejada, I think they need to go stay at a Hollywood, Holiday Inn? And just hang out for a couple days because I want to get that chemistry at second and short. Because it's not, I mean, I felt really comfortable with Loretta and Tejada out there, but I haven't felt that comfortable with these two guys. It's going to get there, but it's not there yet.
Play, Tejada goes to his right hard, throws the ball to second. Matsui decided not to run over there to get it.
Hey, it's game time. We are at the bus across the street from Minute Maid Park. There's like a line of 1,017,000 people. And like a lot of them are kids. I like kids. So I got to watch what I say on the air. But if you want to call us up, 713-439-1560. You can email the show at gametime@1560thegame.com. The bus is where it's at. Come to the Wawa. Me gusta la Wawa.
Me gusta la Wawa.
You don't have the pass. Oh, actually, you do. You worked at a Spanish station for a while, so you can. But if you want to call us up, please do, 713-439-1560. But we want to bring up right now Bob Hulsey of AstrosDaily.com, our correspondent who handles all things Astros for us from the great website that is AstrosDaily.com. Bob, I don't know where to start, but it's not a good day in the city of Houston and looking back at yesterday's sports.
Well, I would have to agree there. The Astros had sort of a disappointing loss. I know that the Rocket fans are very disappointed. I tend to look at the Astros as a team in transition, that this isn't really supposed to be their year. They went through so many changes that it's really unrealistic to expect them to get out of the gates as, you know, as gangbusters like the St. Louis Cardinals or something. Now, in all honesty, have you looked at the St. Louis Cardinals' schedule? I mean, look what they're playing. They're playing Washington. They're playing San Francisco. They're playing us. I mean, they should be 12-6 right now. So it's something that you have to keep this all in perspective. I think that St. Louis is going to come back to earth. Earlier this year, I promised Ryan Ed that the Astros would make it back to the 500 level, and I'm still sticking by that. They are going to get better. They're going to gel. It's going to take time. They may not win anything in terms of a title this year. They may not make the playoffs. But they're going to be a much better team than what they've shown so far.
That's Bob Halsey of AstrosDaily.com. And Bob, I don't know if we have a bad connection, but it keeps popping, so we're gonna try to work through that. But let's start off with yesterday's. You know, the one topic that was all over the clubhouse yesterday was the play by Ryan Spilsbrough at center field. He obviously didn't make the catch. That's without a doubt. But do you take issue with the umpire, not for necessarily missing the call, because I could see the angle where he came from missing the call, but the way he was so adamant with Cecil, and the way he backed down Cecil, like, I'm not wrong. Somebody needs to punch that guy.
Well, sorry. I mean, it's one of these things, if you're an official and you're being challenged, you see that in all sports, where the official, you know, if they're asked to get help, some of them get help. I think it's just sort of odd that these things just sort of happen to the Astros. I mean, if you remember earlier in the season in Chicago, where I believe it was Michael Bourne who had walked, and then Lou Piniella comes out of the dugout and says, well, I think maybe he swung at that last pitch. So long after the fact, long after Michael Bourne standing on first base, they come back and say, sorry, that was a check swing. Sorry, you struck out. You're not, you know, at first anymore. And so on the road, that sort of stuff happens to us. At home, that sort of stuff still happens to us. And that's the part that's had me scratching my head as a Houston sports fan for so many years, that, it, you know, the one thing that always struck me about our playoff run in 2005 is that for once we were the ones getting the breaks. We were the ones getting the calls. It was the other team getting mad at the umpires. And it just seemed out of sorts to me. I was like, why is it that all of a sudden, you know, we're getting good calls for once? So getting bad calls just seems to be a Houston tradition, and I honestly don't know why that is, how you fix it, or what.
The world's against us. That's the bottom line.
I don't know if that's the reason. But, Bob, are you – obviously the hitting has been marginal at times, but more importantly, is this on the pace of the pitching staff, what you expected so far with the Astros?
Well, no doubt that the starting rotation has performed better than I expected. We expected Roy to be really good and the rest of the rotation to be really shaky, and it's been almost the opposite, except for just the past couple of days, where the Roy has been shaky and the starting rotation, the rest of the starting rotation, has been actually holding up very well. Sean Chacon is coming into today's game with an ERA under 3. For your number 4 starter, that's more than what you would ask for. Wandy Rodriguez still has an ERA under 3. So the guys that we were sort of wondering, are they going to give us what we want? They really have stepped up. You know, granted, Sampson didn't have a good outing, and Backe didn't have a good outing the last couple times. And I think one of the things that's disappointed me so far is that the Astros have not been able to take advantage of these good pitching performances, because I honestly don't know how long they're going to last.
That's Bob Halsey of AstrosDaily.com. If you want to get in, 713-439-1560. The email's gametime@1560thegame.com. And we've got callers, and here's one of our favorite guys, Ryan Ed, who I know not only wants to talk about the Astros, probably he's got a Rockets rant as well. What's up, Mr. Ed?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey,
hi.
I've been listening to the show every week, and I'm just feeling like the Astros need to start winning sooner or later, because I don't know how much losing I can take.
Buddy, I'm in the same shoe as you. I wanted to punch my face 12 times yesterday.
Wow.
Okay, just 9 times.
I have a question for Bob Halsey.
I think he's okay. I think
four records and all of the losing, what has been the most disappointing aspect of the Astros season so far?
I think I just mentioned it with the fact that we are getting good starting pitching and we haven't been taking advantage of it. That we're in one of these sort of modes where one day we lose 8-6 and the next day we lose 2-1. What we really need to do is be able to start getting good hitting performances and good pitching performances on the same day. You know, start getting some of these guys that have not been hitting that well, you know, to start to come out of it. And I'm seeing signs of Bourne and Pence starting to come out of it. I'm looking at Tolles. You know, Tolles has 4 homers already, and we're only midway through April. In previous years, you had to wait all year for Brad Ausmus to get 4 home runs. So, you know, the signs are there. This will be a better team. I think you just have to be patient with them. And I don't think they're going to be world beaters, but I think they're going to be a much better team than they're showing right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking also, Bob. That was pretty much all I was going to ask. And I just wanted to say that I really enjoy the show. And I just want to say that I'm hoping that the Astros and Rockets both start to win, because this losing is really bothering me. And I don't know how much longer I can take the losing. I mean, all I want to see is another major sports championship in the city of Houston soon. And I'm hoping for it.
Ryan, Ed, I'm with you. I can't take any more losing. In fact, I am going to punch myself after this call. But, you know, as my boy Rodney would like to remind you, Rodney is saying this, the Dynamo did win a couple of championships for
you. Back to back.
But and hopefully we don't have back-to-back losses or back-to-back-to-back losses with the Astros coming up. But, we've got some more calls coming up. We got to go to a break. We've got Pat H. on the line, who's supposed to be here at the bus.
We've got a Rockies fan.
We've got a Rockies fan. Oh,
and you know the fear I've been having? So, a lot of the little leaguers are coming up, and so their parents will have, like, the team jersey on. So I'm like, man, why are Cardinal fans and Ray fans coming out? But it is a ton of little kiddies out here for a while. Youth Day, they get to go and run the bases. It's a great thing that the Astros do for the community. I remember the first couple of times going to a major league baseball game up in Chicago. And it's an amazing thing. So if you can come out today for the game, but more importantly,
Texas
and Hamilton.
Whatever about the game. Come hang out with us. We like to have fun at the bar, at the bus, all right, on Texas and Hamilton. We've got Bob Hulsey on us. He knows the Astros inside and out. That's Jay-Z for you, Bob. I know you're a big Jay-Z fan. 713-439-1560. Email gametime at 1560thegame.com. When my internet starts working again, I'm also going to check it to see what's up on the Astros daily board. It's game time.
Hey, sports fans, time for some home run savings right now at Mack High Ford. Just come on in. Tell us you're a 1560 The Game fan, and you can score the winning run. With new Fords at invoice price, plus get all the rebates. Fusion, Taurus, Mustang, Edge, F-Series, Expeditions, Explorers. Your choice, and you pay invoice price, plus keep the cash back. It's a grand slam deal at Mack High Ford. The bases are loaded with over 600 new Fords in stock. Time for a double play. New Fords at invoice price, and you get the rebates. But don't get left on base. Once this offer's gone, it's out of the ballpark. It's gone for good. Don't get caught napping. Get that great Mack High feeling and score some home run savings at Mack High Ford. I-10 at Beltway 8 or on the web at MackHike.com. That's MackHike.com.
Excludes Shelby Cobras.
Hey, this is John Harris for Ticket Attractions, and what a great time of year to be a sports fan. Major League Baseball, our Astros, all spring and summer, and if you don't have your tickets, well, I've got the place for you. Ticket Attractions. I don't know how many people come up to me and tell me how often they've gone to Jim Barr Ticket Attractions for tickets to any sporting event, concert, NASCAR, anything, you name it. Jim Barr's hooked these people up. Jim Barr wants to put butts in seats. He wants yours to be at some of these events coming up soon. How about the Rockets making the playoffs? You got to get out there at Toyota Center and see this team play before the season is over. Hopefully that won't be until June. But the concerts, I'm telling you, the events coming to Houston are flat out amazing. Rush is going to be here. Jimmy Buffett, Roger Waters, Kanye West, The Police. And I'm not talking about the 5-0 driving around your neighborhood. Dave Matthews will be here on August 15th. So get on over to Ticket Attractions. That's 1560tickets.com. Or give him a call at 713-952-5333. That's Jim Barr, Ticket Attractions.
Trusted small business owner, heed our words. Now that Comcast offers business class services, an essential collection of tools awaits your small business. You now have access to the trio of digital voice, high-speed internet, and TV. Resources more powerful than even your fiercest competitors. And it all comes with a neighborhood Comcast rep, a mighty ally who can look at your business and provide ideas to help your office succeed. Now your office has a powerful advantage in the quest for commerce-related justice. Comcast Business Class is an extra little something to help your office press on towards triumph. to your business stations. Double time. Comcast Business Class. Turn your office on. Call now to get Comcast Business Class voice, internet, and TV for $99 a month. It's got digital voice with unlimited local and long distance, high-speed internet with Microsoft Communication Services, and TV. All with free installation. Call 1-888-737-8361 now.
Not available in all areas. Restrictions apply. Equipment installation and term agreement required. For more information, call 1-800-316-1619.
Got something to say about the game? Call 713-439-1560 and tell Nuno. He lives with this crap.
I thought definitely he dropped it. I mean, you could see him fumbling around, and I don't know what all was said, but hopefully that'll help build up this team and get everybody fired up, and hopefully we'll start putting some wins together.
Yeah. J.R. Tolles, our boy.
Yeah.
We love J.R. Tolles. We love his dad, too. His dad's awesome.
Let me ask you this, though. 713-439-1560 is the number if you want to call in and talk to myself, Nuno, or just hear yourself on the radio.
How about Bob Pulsey?
I was going to finish with my man.
Okay, just making sure.
Bob, I was going to ask you, are we excited about J.R.? Because of his offense at the, you know, or is it just, it's such an improvement over Brad Ausmus on that end?
Well, that's something that you have to take in its full context. I mean, we can't expect JR to be defensively what Brad Ausmus has been. And obviously, some of the veteran pitchers still want to pitch to Brad instead of pitching to JR. So he obviously has some work to do in that department. But, I mean, he's a young guy. It's going to take him time to learn all the tricks of the trade. That's why Brad's still around the ball club, is to show JR the ropes. And when you go straight from Class A up the ladder to the major leagues all in one season, there's a lot of learning and a lot of teaching that he probably hasn't received. You go back to the play earlier in the season where Albert Pujols knocked him over at the plate, and you can see that there's obviously some areas of technique that he's probably still weak on that he needs to learn. But on the other hand, he's a great hitter, and we're going to be enjoying watching him hit now for several years to come, we assume. And I think that that's going to be a positive. I think he's going to become more marketable, more a face of the franchise as the years go along, and we'll just need to adjust to that, where depending what he gives us defensively, is just what we're going to get.
That voice you hear is Bob Hulsey of AstrosDaily.com. The other two voices, David Nuno and Rodney White, hanging out at the bus across the street from Minute Maid Park here on 1560 of the Game's Game Time. We're having fun on Texas and Hamilton. Come join us. We've got our breakfast tacos, and are we done with that? I think they're maybe done with the breakfast tacos, but you know the drinks here are fabulous.
Hot dogs.
You like the hot dogs?
Yeah.
Rodney likes the hot dogs. I'm glad that... Yeah, actually, I knew that about you. 713-439-1560. The email's gametime at 1560thegame.com. Pat H., I'm looking for you. Where are you at? I think you're supposed to be here at the bus. What is up?
Well, let me tell you something. You know, it got to be yesterday afternoon, and say the Minister of Domestic Affairs pointed out that I needed to do some things around the house today, plus I'm going to the game on Tuesday night, and somehow one was mutually exclusive of the other. I haven't yet followed the logic on this. Fact is, I'm here and you're there, and you're having a much better time than me, I'm guessing.
Oh, we're having a blast, but don't worry, we're going to be here plenty of times, so I know that you will definitely come represent.
I'm coming back up. Yeah, it is awesome out there, and I highly recommend anyone to just kind of come on out there. Like you said, even if they don't have tickets to the game, it's just fun to just sit out there and on a beautiful morning and have a Bloody Mary and watch the people go in the ballpark and contest. Well, hey, my question to Bob. Hey, Bob, good to finally, it's the first time I think I've ever heard your voice other than on the radio or talked to you, but one thing that I had posted was this team developing some type of leadership, on-field leadership, and I think I posted about Miguel Tejada falling into that, because Berkman is not exactly, even by his own admission, a leader in the clubhouse, although I think it's probably a year where he needs to start being a leader in the clubhouse at this point in his career. But the I was wondering if you could pick up on your vast memory vast experience with the Astros viewership and listenership and attendance to see if have you seen leadership throughout the years and kind of contrast and compare to now. And then as well, when you mentioned about being patient, I absolutely agree with that. I think that Mike, I've posted many times that as long as we can get to hopefully around a 500 mark around Memorial Day, I think this team does need to kind of come together, and that kind of goes with that leadership point I was talking about. This team can come together and start really gelling, like you'll see around Memorial Day. This team starts to play some pretty competitive baseball throughout the year, and then hopefully in September we're in a position to play some good games. But go, Bob, what do you think?
I do think you're right that the team still has some gelling to do, and with all the components that have been brought in, and frankly, we've been thrown for a loop because some of the guys we really were counting on to be, the best players, say Roy Oswalt, Jose Valverde, haven't really stepped up. And conversely, we've had players that we didn't really expect a whole lot out of, such as Sean Chacon, who have done really well. And it's just a matter of time before things start to come together. And when it does, then we won't feel so bad about how they're playing in terms of what we're seeing now. In regard to leadership, I think you've got some good observations there. I do think that the Astros have, for the first time in so long, are not going to be led by Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio. That's something that there is a void there that people kind of need to watch and see who's going to fill in. I don't think Lance Berkman has the personality type to really be an on-field leader, and I don't think Carlos Lee does either. So I think almost by default, Miguel Tejada is going to have to be the one everyday player who's going to need to get people revved up, be able to get them, giving that little extra effort. Brandon Backe is another guy that is very supportive of his teammates and very vocal. On the one hand, you need players who can get somebody excited because it's a very long season. On the other hand, you need people who are able to provide an even keel, to not get too low, to not get too high. And you would look to somebody like Brad Ausmus for that sort of leadership or somebody like Doug Pergale.
Well, I wonder, looking at and I say clearly, the ambush interview with Tejada by ESPN on this. When something like that happens, you think it seems to me that players would rally around a teammate like Tejada, who just seems to have their best interest in mind just about every single minute on the field.
One of the better motivating techniques is the old us against the world thing that you see sometimes in clubhouses where people say, okay, well, the fans hate us, the media hates us, everybody hates us, but screw that, we're just going to play best and we're going to play angry. And you almost saw a little bit of that in the Rockets yesterday when they didn't seem to be getting the foul calls and, they were starting to fall behind. There was sort of that attitude of, well, we're just going to have to toughen up and play harder and lean on each other. And the Astros are kind of too new at this point to really feel confident leaning on each other, but I think they'll get there eventually.
Well, great.
And that's Pat H. calling in and Bob Holsey from AstrosDaily.com. But, guys, I'm going to have to interject because we've got the legend here with us, Bill Brown, Astros broadcaster, joining us. So we want to make sure he is a starter.
We're second or third team. He is a starter.
No, you guys are the show.
I don't know about all that, but this gentleman right here is a part of the Texas Baseball Hall of Fame. What's going on, Mr. Brown?
Well, it's just a nice Sunday morning to sit here and chat with you guys.
We appreciate your time with us, and we've also got Bob Holsey from AstrosDaily.com on with us, who's helping us break down the Astros. And first thing is first, the big talk was yesterday's play at center field. The clubhouse talked about it quite a bit. I want to get your take on it because I was in the press room and didn't get to hear your commentary on it, but I was more upset with the umpire afterwards, how animated he was. I just want to get your take on it.
Right. Well, I think sometimes umpires get more animated when they know that they got the call wrong and there's nothing they can do about it. And I think that's why they conferred to see if any of them happened to see it. None of them did. None of them had the proper angle, so they couldn't overrule the call. And I think it was almost one of those things where we said, well, you know, Mark Wegner probably realizes because of the reaction from the Astros bullpen and the fans that this was not the right call, but he did not definitively see the baseball on the ground, so he can't do anything about it. None of his compadres saw it on the ground, so I think they realized we're stuck with a bad call here, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Now, look, we've got Bill Brown with us from the Astros broadcasting team. Let's talk a little bit about this team, because there's a lot of things we pointed at before the season started that, hey, these are some issues that the Astros are going to have. Well, some of those issues really haven't come out there, but there have been new ones popping up.
That's baseball, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely crazy. You know, and I was thinking on the way in this morning, not to point the finger at people, but you could take three people on this club and say, well, they're not performing up to standards. And who would have thought they'd be Roy Oswalt and Hunter Pence, and probably you'd have to go with Jose Valverde, Oscar Villarreal to make it four. And, you know, it's 18 games into the season, a 6-12 record, that's a .333 winning percentage. The worst team in the National League is going to play better than that over the course of a full season. So it's still a relatively small sample. I think you give Roy Oswalt credit for turning things around in his career, and that's going to happen, and so on down the line. On the other hand, other guys have done better than you thought they would be doing to this point.
The guy taking the mound today.
Yeah, yeah, he has. Sean Chacon, he's got a 2.25 ERA, and I think he's been a very bright light so far, but it just hasn't meshed as a team. So you can always point to individuals, but it's the team as a whole and how they fit in.
Let me ask you real quick about Cecil Cooper, manager of the Astros. It's hard to gauge how he's done thus far, but one thing that has impressed me, and I don't necessarily agree with his comments, but one thing that's impressed me is he's got his closers back. You know, that is his closer, and he is saying it, and he's adamant about it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting in contrast to a year ago with Brad Lidge when he lost the job after opening day.
Right.
So it is a different study. I don't know if the Astros have alternatives the way they did last year with Qualls and Wheeler at that point. So, yeah, it's not the same team, but I think in general managers do have to do this. The closer is their guy. They have to stand behind him. Right. There are a number of closers who have really struggled so far in baseball. This has been the worst year, I think, for the first two or three weeks for blown saves.
Yeah. Obviously, pitching is a major question mark. The bullpen has done good, but more importantly, I think with Matsui being back and how fast Bourne looks, how important is there those guys' on-base percentage to be high? I mean, getting on base and getting hits is always good, but the, more importantly, on-base percentage, because at some point, the rest of the meat of this lineup is going to start hitting, we hope.
I think you just nailed it. I don't think it's batting average. I think it's on-base average, and if they get on, they're going to score a lot of runs. But if they don't, those 3, 4, 5 guys are not going to be able to have the impact.
Yeah.
And you assume that Berkman and Lee and Tejada are going to do their usual thing. They may or they may not, but they're proven hitters.
Yeah.
So if the top two guys are on for them, it should be a very good offensive year. It just hasn't happened. This team is last in the league in on-base average right now, and that's crazy.
Bill Brown joins us right now, Astros play-by-play for television. Hey, Bill, there's been a couple of bright spots out there. I think we pointed at Sean Chacon, Michael Bourne. Definitely he's a speed demon. We had Frank call in the show earlier who asked, where does Michael Bourne rank all-time speed-wise? Not necessarily, you know, leadoff batters, but speed-wise from all the Astros you've seen.
Lynn Davis.
Well, you know, of course, when you think about stolen bases, you think of guys like Biggio and Cedeno. And he's faster than either one of them. I don't know what kind of numbers he's going to put up, but from home to first, he's faster. He really is, and he's phenomenal. He's the first guy since Biggio to steal this many bases in April. That was in 98, and Craig stole 13. And, you know, he's stolen on pitch-outs. He's just a blur, and he doesn't need a big lead to steal a base. He's that fast. His first step, he's up to top speed.
You know, one thing I really like about having Michael Bourne out there is obviously we know the speed, but what the speed does to the psyche of the pitcher. I mean, they are thinking about him on every pitch.
We saw that last night.
Yep.
It really gets into their head.
Yeah.
They're throwing over a lot. They're trying their best balk move to try to get him to be a little bit closer to first base. But that's not going to cut into his lead because he doesn't need that big lead. So they're just wasting their time, really, by throwing over. He's not going to shorten his lead at all.
We talked earlier about the fact that Bagwell and Biggio are no longer part of the clubhouse, and a lot has been made about who's going to be the leader. I think Berkman has a certain leadership to him. Who else has stepped up to you as a leader in the clubhouse?
I think Miguel Tejada has, and he will become more and more important to this club. And as a shortstop, he can come in and talk to the pitchers, especially the Hispanic pitchers. He can really have an influence on them. They respect him so much. He speaks the language very well, but more than that, he just knows the game. So I think he's going to become an integral part of this team as things move forward, and he already has been. And I think a guy like Doug Brocale is a leader because he rallies the bullpen troops, and he's been through the wars. He's 40 years old. He's seen it all, and they really rely on him.
Speaking of the bullpen troops, and obviously in Philadelphia there's a couple of issues with Mr. Valverde. Do you expect, it's always a transition coming to a new park, especially for a closer. Do you think he's going to be able to make the transition to Minute Maid?
I do. I think right now he's pressing a little bit. He's with a new team. His stuff is not very good right now, but it's better, you know, normally than it is at the present time. So he needs a confidence booster. He needs to come in and nail down a tight game and draw a lot of confidence from that and hit the corners. He's been making mistakes out over the plate.
Bill Brown's with us, and piggybacking on that, I talked to Valverde, I think it was Tuesday, and he said he's gone through this before in his career. In 2005, he had a similar stretch where things weren't going right. This is just the life of a closer, is it not?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. That next morning after blowing the save, it's got to be erase the blackboard time. And this is the most difficult job, I think, in sports. Certainly the field goal kicker or the guy who misses the free throw has a tough night, too. But for a closer, there's a game the next day. And in some ways, it's worse if you're a kicker because, you know, that's only one of 16 games, and you might not get another chance to do that, and you got to live with it all week. But for a closer, you're going to get many opportunities. If you start blowing two and three in a row, life gets very difficult because the whole team is on your shoulders.
We spoke of and pitched yesterday, Wandy Rodriguez. He looked okay yesterday, and he's been a surprise. You know, especially between me and Nuno, we were thinking, you know, we didn't know what Wandy was going to give you. The importance of he's out for an extended amount of time, and who do you think is going to be probably next in line to really take his place?
I was just talking with Mike Capps, who's the voice of the Round Rock Express, to see which starting pitchers are doing well right now. They really don't have anybody who's on a roll right now. I think Jack Castle probably would be the guy. He made a pretty good impression this spring. He's a right-hander. He's been around the big leagues a little bit before, and I think if they really had an emergency need, they would probably call him up. I don't know how bad Wandy's situation is. He might not have to miss a start, but the bullpen is certainly strapped right now. So the Astros are going to need a whole lot more from their starters than they've been getting these last three games.
Bill Brown joins us here on 1560 of the Game. Hey, Bill, in your years of covering the Astros, talk about a guy like Hunter Pence who is struggling in his second year. He's swinging on a lot of bad pitches, but that's just basically the case a lot of times when the book, you know, they talk about the quote-unquote book on players. That's what happens a lot of times in the second year. But a guy like Hunter, people seem to not be worried because he's got such great work ethic.
I agree with that, and I think he's figuring some things out now. He was telling me yesterday the day off in Philly did him a lot of good. And he said maybe an older player doesn't need a day off like that, but it really helped me. And I think it did a couple of things. First of all, it got him on the bench instead of facing Brett Myers, who can chew up right-handed hitters. And the second thing is that it just took his mind and put it at rest for another 24-hour period there. You know, because you can chew yourself up mentally when things aren't going well. But I think he's discovering some things about his approach. He's working a lot with Sean Berry to make these adjustments you talked about. You know, he doesn't walk very much. And the pitchers are going to try to widen that strike zone and get him to expand as much as they can. So if he's able to exercise a little more discipline, that's going to help him. Jeff Francoeur is the same type hitter. He doesn't walk very much either. But gradually he did walk a little bit more. And eventually you can't make the strike zone as big as Alaska. You know, it has to be on pitches you can hit.
Last thing for you. For a new team, because this Astros team really is a new team with a new manager, a new look to it. You couldn't ask for a harder start of the season. So things, you can be very optimistic about the future.
Right. I think so, because I think generally with so many new players, it takes them a while to gel. certainly the ideal would have been to be the reverse of where they are right now, 12-6. That would have been great. Everybody would have had a lot of confidence. But over the course of a 162-game season, most teams are probably going to lose 12 out of 18, even the good teams. You know, look at the Rockies last year. They were 18-27 at one point. And, you know, there's a good article in the Chronicle today about the Phillies and all these other teams and where they were in April of last year. Yeah. Everything's magnified because these are the only 18 games we've seen so far. And in July, there will be a stretch that's probably the reverse of this or something, and not as big a deal will be made of it because there have been so many games played.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think in this tough stretch on the road is coming up, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Arizona's a very difficult team. So it's not probably the way you draw it up, that's for sure. But at some point, these guys are either going to come together or they're not. And if they're going to have a good season, I think by the end of this month, they will have to get it moving.
Bill Brown is the face and voice of Astros TV, play-by-play. You are a gentleman. Thank you so much for joining us on busy day.
It's been a pleasure of mine.
Thank you very much. We love Bill Brown. We've been talking about it all week, pumping you up, so we appreciate you on a busy day coming out here.
Thank you.
Bob Holsey, your thoughts on that interview that Bill Brown brings it, my friend.
Well, I tell you, it's always interesting for me to hear Bill Brown because he's generally the setup guy for other more opinions. When he's doing his job. So you don't get to hear a lot of what Bill Brown thinks about the Astros. You're hearing him set up Jim DeShays on what he thinks about the Astros or what other people in the broadcast booth think about the Astros. That's refreshing to me to get Bill's opinion because he's usually fairly reserved about his opinions when he's on the air.
Well, we're going to have to bother him often. I got his email now, and he's laughing at me, but I'm going to be emailing him up often.
It brings us from, we're single A affiliate.
Oh, we're now the major leagues.
Now we're at least Corpus Christi.
Exactly. The guy on the phone you hear is Bob Holsey from AstrosDaily.com. We appreciate your time this week, my man. We're going to keep talking Astros, and we welcome all the AstrosDaily.com callers to call in and email on 1560 The Game. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
All right, Bob Holsey of AstrosDaily.com, and we appreciate his time. We also appreciate Bill Brown and James Anderson for helping setting this up. He's a big contributor to the show.
You know, and Bill put it in great perspective. It's 18 games.
18 games.
And, you know, we've been teased here in Houston, but, you know, you have a playoff runs and wild card runs, and then obviously 05.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to have expectations. This could be Kansas City. You know, and you know, they haven't done nothing since George Brett. You know, it could be that bad, but it's not. But it's a good thing. Great ballpark. Management has a thing.
Right.
I think I'm very high on Cecil, and I think he's gonna get it the ship right. It's not really off par. It's just not as straight as you would hope it would be.
Well, we've got a lot more Astros to talk. We cannot wait to get it going. And guess who else? A legend followed by another. Shawnee Pendergast coming up on the show in a couple of minutes here on 1560 The Game. Game time. David Nuno and Rodney Waits hanging out at the bus.
I had to take off my sunglasses.
I love the Wawa. I love the bus. It's so awesome out here. Come have a beer, a Bloody Mary. Come watch some baseball. Come hang out with your gamers. So much fun out here. Call us up, 713-439-1560. Or email the show at gametime at 1560thegame.com. A lot more Astros talk when we come back.
Houston, it's raging, caging, go!
Crawfish really, really are hot.
Oh, yeah!
Raging Cajun is the spot.
Oh, yeah! We got crawfish, cold beer, and Rita's too. Come on down and see us today. Make every single day a raging Cajun day. Shrimp, oysters, catfish, and a stuffed crab too.
Gumbo, red beans, just like in my mood. Bring them all, we'll feed your whole crew.